Last weekend, people gathered in Ottawa to demonstrate against the G20, IMF, and World Bank Summit. Members of the CLAC, the Anti-Capitalist Convergence, joined forces with other demonstrators to voice their resistance to the summit. Last weekend, people gathered in Ottawa to demonstrate against the G20, IMF, and World Bank Summit. Members of the CLAC, the Anti-Capitalist Convergence, joined forces with other demonstrators to voice their resistance to the summit.
The protests were called in opposition to the policies of the IMF and World Bank, particularly their structural adjustment programs, which have been forced on communities across the Global South and have devastated the social fabric of those communities, as well as the policies of liberalization and privatization that have had an impact on countries' social programs and basic public infrastructure across the world, including in Canada. The protests were also an opportunity for many groups who wished to voice an opposition to the U.S.-led war in Afghanistan, because many of the states which participate in the G20 meetings are implicated in the George W. Bush Coalition Against Terrorism. The G20 is, in fact, a coalition of 19 countries, their finance ministers, and the governors of their central banks, as well as the Bretton Woods institutions.
During the days of protests in Ottawa, several events went totally unnoticed by the mainstream press.
During the week leading up to the protests, there was a number of rather underreported events at which activists critical of the Bretton Woods Institution, so the IMF and World Bank, and of the G20, were able to draw the links between local struggles and the convergence-style protests that have become the sort of hallmark of the so-called anti-globalization movement. And they were also able to make the connections between the current U.S. military intervention in Afghanistan, which is to say a form of military imperialism, and the IMF World Bank policies that benefit corporations and wealthy Western states, which is to say a form of economic imperialism. There is at least three different protests called for the 15th, 16th, and 17th of November. The first was actually called by the Ottawa Coalition Against the Tories as part of the Ontario Common Front campaign against the Harris government. And it was a mass squeegee and panhandle on Thursday morning that was a protest against the criminalization of poverty, of squeegeeing, of panhandlers implemented through the Safe Streets Act in 1999. And that was an effective protest in this context of a larger protest against the IMF World Bank, because it underlined the senses in which local attacks on the poor through legislation such as the Safe Streets Act are really just part and parcel of sort of a larger neoliberal attack on poor people. And in fact, the Harris government policies have frequently been talked about as sort of locally implemented structural adjustment programs similar to the IMF World Bank, both in their logic and in their effects on the most marginal people in our society. On Friday the 16th, the opening day of the G20 meetings, during that afternoon, the G20 delegates were to meet at the Chateau Laurier for lunch. The Ottawa Coalition Against the Tory decided to mark the occasion by calling for a snake march and rally to denounce the G20, the IMF, and the World Bank. And that protest wound its way through the downtown core of Ottawa, eventually making it, led by a Black Bloc contingent, to the traffic barriers that were set up in three separate lines to, so I guess, protect the conference center from protesters' presence. Made it there, penetrated those barriers somewhat, and then moved on to the Bank of Canada, where David Dodge, who's the governor of the Bank of Canada, was noticeably absent, since he was already in the Chateau Laurier dining with his cadre leaders. The Bank of Canada was targeted with a lot of great graffiti and a lot of great paint. And I think the protest was vocal. And then the protest wound its way back through the streets of Ottawa. A larger march had been called by Global Democracy Ottawa, as well as a number of Ottawa-based NGOs, and had been the subject of much debate and the object of quite a lot of planning in the weeks leading up to Ottawa. And it was called for Saturday morning, where when people assembled at three different rallying points, one in Hull, one at LeBreton Flats, and one at U of O, and three separate marches converged after much police harassment at the Supreme Court, where there were still more speakers. And after that, some people left, but a sizable number of the contingent went on its way back towards the conference center, back towards the barriers, and a number of different attempts at penetrating those barriers were made throughout the rest of the afternoon.
In the weeks leading up to the protests in Ottawa, the debate around a respect for diversity of tactics rose again. Christina Xidus, a member of the CLAC, comments.
Previous to Ottawa, we saw that a lot of the discourse around diversity of tactics, a lot of the like differences of opinion were back again, except this time with a rather new twist, and a rather upsetting twist at that, where we have a lot of the mainstream, primarily white and privileged North American women's organizations that are, and amongst others, who are like posing this issue as being one of racism and sexism within the movement. And you see this reflected in articles in like the Ottawa Citizen, for instance, but also in communiques from groups who took part in the organizing to Ottawa, where it's not overtly stated, but implicitly the message is given that anything outside of a strictly nonviolent approach to the demonstrations is by its very nature racist and sexist, you know, because, I mean, it completely ignoring a history of radical social justice movements by people of color around the world and by women who didn't employ strictly nonviolent tactics, who were quite militant in their approach to their issues.
Solidarity! So, so, so! Solidarity! So, so, so!
To illustrate some of the ways in which the concept of a respect for diversity of tactics has been manipulated by people using this, a sort of diversity discourse or an anti-racist, purportedly pro-feminist mode of speaking, this is an excerpt from a call that was sent out on Friday, the 16th of November, by Nancy Peckford, who I guess was liaising for the National Action Committee on the Status of Women in the Eastern Ontario Region and the Ottawa Committee of the World March of Women. The heading is, "Please respect diversity by respecting our call for nonviolence." Women's groups in Ottawa and surrounding communities call on all those planning to protest G20 meetings in Ottawa on November 16th, 17th, and 18th to respect and embrace diversity by respecting nonviolent principles. And then it goes on to say, "Our shared commitments to democratic principles mean we must necessarily include opportunities for full participation of all interested and affected parties. We therefore want to encourage women, people of color, immigrants, refugees, and people with disabilities in our communities to help organize and participate in meaningful, creative, participatory, and possibly confrontational nonviolent protest. We call on all people to recognize the significant risk that marginalized communities take by participating in protests and the even greater risk that some of us will now take in the context of a war on terrorism. Those of us who belong to visibly identifiable marginalized groups are likely to be targeted, scapegoated, and linked with any violence appearing to originate with protesters. We therefore ask all protesters to respect the risk we choose to take by fully considering the consequences of their actions for all and practicing nonviolence. The police may use agents provocateurs to justify police repression in the public eye by initiating and provoking violence within our protest movement, as they have throughout history and at recent protests in Quebec City and in Genoa. We therefore encourage the creation of citizen-based groups which can work on-site to impede the work of agents provocateurs and encourage respect for diversity through nonviolence.
Respect for diversity of tactics means, to put it simply, that whatever approach that groups decide is the most efficient and meaningful one for them should probably be respected by those outside of that group. So, for instance, if the Zapatistas in Mexico decide that armed struggle is the way to go to have their issues taken seriously and addressed, that people in the privileged north cannot, by virtue of their locality, and I don't want to get into highfalutin term, academic terms here, but in virtue of their locality on a political and social plane, it would be very difficult for them to say that they shouldn't take that approach because they do not have to live under the particular conditions that indigenous Mexicans live under by virtue of their privilege. So the same thing is here. So that's what we mean by respect for a diversity of tactics. The communities themselves essentially have the right to decide how they are going to have their issues addressed, how their struggle, what shape that struggle is going to take. And that those outside of those communities, by, you know, do have the right to critique. I mean, nobody's ever said that we can't discuss, you know, whether that's an intelligent tactic, whether it will be successful, whether it's efficient. I mean, there's a number of ways that people can discuss and critique each other's approaches. But that at the end of the day, the people who have the legitimacy in terms of whose issue it is and whose communities does it affect should and do, in my opinion, have the right to decide how exactly to approach their struggles.
That was Christina Xidus commenting on the respect for diversity of tactics and how this debate arose in the Ottawa demos. This is the end of the program for today. If you want to contact CLAC, you can always call 514-409-2049 or send an email to clac@tau.ca. If you're interested in participating in the CLAC, we have general assemblies open to anybody who respects our base of principles, which is available on the internet at quebec2001.org. Our next General Assembly will be tonight at 7 o'clock at 182 St. Catherine Street East, next to Metro Berry-Ucal. Newcomers come at 6.